much about.
Boy, the only thing missing from this place is a couple dozen bodies limed and rotting in shallow graves under the floorboards.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
You're the racist.
I'm not racist. I don't see color.
That is exactly what every racist says.
Look, everyone has a little racism in them. I know I do. You can't be racist. You're Indian.
Oh, my God. That is the most racist thing anyone has ever said to me while trying to tell me they're not racist. Oh, I hope you're ignorant, because otherwise, you're stupid.
And now.
Now get on your feet for the two people who you have been rooting for all season. Ladies and gentlemen, the talk of the nation, here they are.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 15th of August.
Yeah, it is.
What's up?
I want to thank listener Heidi for writing in. Our conversation about words that you have trouble pronouncing. Mm-hmm. I talked about my struggle for years now with Arctic/Arctic.
Right.
Couldn't figure out where that came from. I think Brad said he had the same problem in the past. And Heidi has a perfectly reasonable explanation that I never even thought about.
All right.
And she emailed and said, damn it, Bean, we mispronounce Arctic because of the pronunciation of Antarctica. I expect more from you. So we don't say
Antarctica.
Exactly. Because we say Antarctica, we assume it's Arctic.
But, okay.
I guess I can see
that, but how often do you use the word Antarctica?
Well, 5-6 times a day.
Oh, yeah. That's more than me.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm in an Antarctica fan club,
I see.
We have meetings and everything.
Well, then you should know how to say it.
I should. But I do. I'm fine with Antarctica. I have no problems with Antarctica. But doesn't that make total sense that why would they be different? Because they're obviously based, they obviously have the same root.
All right, so wait, Antarctica is right. It's not Antarctica?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So it should be Arctic, is I guess what we're saying.
Huh.
If I ruled the world,
right,
we would change Arctic to Arctic.
I feel like there's bigger issues. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to handle them all. I'm going to take care of all of them.
All right.
That's going to be pretty far down the list, but I'm going to take care of it.
He's going to take care of the smallest stuff first, and he'll work his way down to big stuff.
Excellent.
Exactly. All right, look, homelessness can wait. Let me tell you about this story that I guess we could have saved for great news on Monday, but I'm so tickled by it that I want to share it with you because we can use great news every day, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
This story touched me in particular because of its content. It's a football club, soccer to us Americans, in Yorkshire. They are called the Barnsley Football Club in South Yorkshire, UK. And they sent a letter kind of out of the blue to one of their fans who they had seen on social media had been expressing some depression, had been putting some things up on his social media feeds about the rough time that he was going through. So out of the blue, this young man, Chris Ryder is his name, he goes to the mailbox and there's a letter from the Barnsley Football Club, which is his team, the team that he supports. So you can imagine he's excited,
sure,
but also very confused out of the blue why he would be receiving this letter. And here's what the letter says. Dear Chris, sorry for sending you this letter at random, but I felt like I wanted to reach out to you and get in touch. I've noticed through social media that you've had a bit of a hard time recently. I'm not sure what it is, but I hope everything improves for you as soon as possible. You've been a fan of the club for many years and always supported us, so we want you to know that if the favor needs returning and we need to support you, please do let us know. Hmm. By the way, how unbelievable is this already?
That's crazy. Wow.
This is a big company, I assume, of, you know, a football club is a business that has a lot going on, and the fact that they took the time to send this out to a person they don't know, but they just know as a fan of their club is amazing. You are welcome to swing by anytime. My office door is always open, and we finally got a new coffee machine.
All right.
Alternately, you may have noticed the squiggle on the back of the player lettering on our shirts. It's for the Mind Charity. They are an EFL partner this season, and they do some really great work. I've included their contact details below. So this Mind Charity is a, you know, is a place for people to go who need support, mm-hmm. need help with working through depression. Keep supporting the Reds, Chris, and we'll keep supporting you. Yours sincerely, Gauthier Gagné, Chief Executive Officer of the club.
What? The CEO?
Wow.
The CEO of the club.
Wow.
And I just...
I was thinking, like, maybe it was a PR guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
The CEO of the club writes... So Chris Ryder says he was, as you can imagine, he was shocked. He told the BBC he was shocked when he received the letter. Initially, when I saw the badge on the top of the letter, I thought, uh-oh, what have I done? I've been known to be a little cheeky, all in good fun to the guys who run the social media page. So reading it, I was really shocked. Because he's probably one of those guys who, you know, blast the team when they lose and whatnot.
Or sure.
Makes fun of them or something like that. But how sweet is that, that somebody took a moment to reach out to that person? And you know what? That might really make a difference to Chris Ryder.
Did he write back and say, win more games?
Right? Why are you sucking? That's why I'm depressed.
It doesn't,
say that.
No?
It doesn't say that here.
All right.
But I mean, that could be all he needed to turn his day around.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Was turn his life around, maybe.
Yeah, finding out that somebody, you know, somebody that he cares about him in return. And I will tell you, because of the personal journey that I have been on this year, and the fact that oftentimes I want to leave this job, the response from the listeners on a regular basis about how much this show means to them helps me a lot. The fact that I know that people are getting pleasure out of what we do every day makes me want to keep doing it.
Not every day, but most.
Most days.
Right,
exactly. So I think that's partly why this story resonated with me so much. And I just thought it was a nice way to kind of start a Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Very nice.
So we need the CFO of Entercom to send Bean a note.
Sure. Or maybe the Seattle Seahawks to say we should have handed it off. You're right.
I don't know that
would
you
be nice, right?
I don't know if you want to bring that up.
Okay,
I'm sure that makes me feel
any
better.
Okay, that's my bad.
Hey, that could have worked, by the way. It would have been the greatest sneak play in the history of the NFL had it worked. Just didn't.
So that didn't help?
No.
No. Let's talk about today's show, shall we?
He's not allowed to say the N-word.
Okay. Bean makes his guess.
Yeah, he does. Today? Oh, this is a good one today.
Excellent. Now, are you going to start it with Don't Kill the Messenger?
No, if you suck, this one's on you.
Oh, no.
Wow. That's not on me. That's not a good start.
You were physically hurt by a friend?
Nope.
You were not physically hurt by a friend?
Nope. Did you see Dave's schedule? See Dave's email? According to Dave, you were psychically hurt by a friend, is how he wrote it.
Psychically?
And you're pushed off a binge.
Wow.
Oh, girl pushed off binge.
Girl pushed off binge, and okay. You were psychically hurt by a friend, is Dave's email.
It's supposed to be physically and pushed off a bridge.
No, right. It's binge and psychically, obviously. All right, so let's change it.
And I saw that, and I tried to think, what kind of powers do your friends have where they can psychically hurt you?
Mm.
Like, if I think about it, Kevin, can I make you combust?
I mean, I don't think so.
Okay, well,
I hope not.
It may be tough to find listeners on Dave's call-in topic, but we'll try.
Not my fault.
Oh, it's his fault. Yeah, we were just talking about misspellings yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. He's bringing it strong.
Yep.
Also, a 14-year-old running for the governor of Vermont.
Mm. Womp, womp.
A 14-year-old.
Oh, spoiler alert, Holly. Spoiler alert.
I didn't know.
I was going to save that reveal later when we did the segment.
Just saying, womp, womp, you're 14. Go outside, ride a bike. Beat it, kid. That's what I'm saying.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know that I have not seen the final results of young Ethan, but last time I checked, probably late afternoon, early evening yesterday, the Vermont results, he was at 8%. So it didn't sound like he was going to make the comeback to win.
Right.
To become the Democratic candidate for Vermont in the fall, but 8% of people voted
for a
14-year-old. So he's made a difference.
He's still got his sophomore year of high school to go, so he's good.
He does.
Concentrate on that.
Uh-huh. By the way, I guess we'll talk about it later, but his plan was to leave school if he won.
Oh, and I don't know. Is that even legal?
Can you drop out of school as a freshman? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I think, like, I know in California, for instance, you have to be 16 before you can drop out of school. You don't have to have graduated, but you have to at least be 16. Maybe it's different in Vermont. Like, apparently, the age difference to run for governor. Right.
They're all high on maple syrup out there.
Right?
It's crazy.
Something's going on. But I don't know. I feel like at least the high school education might be beneficial to the young man.
It does seem like it, yeah.
This kid.
Right?
Ugh.
And also the director of Crazy Rich Asians, along with a lot of other movies, John M. Chu, will be joining us this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Home of the K-Rock Summer Pool Party, which is going to be this weekend, I think, Saturday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, Iration and the Interrupters, hosted by Stryker. You can go to KROQ.com for a chance to win, or just keep on listening to your friends here at the Kevin and Bean Show, because we've got tickets for you between 6 and 7 o'clock this morning. Next hour here on K-Rock. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Bean.
What's happening?
I hope I never become a huge celebrity that feels the need just to air all my dirty laundry on social media.
Who's doing that?
It's just weird. Well, yesterday it was Nicki Minaj and her ex, Safari. So they had a little feud going back and forth. The fight began after Nicki was talking about her relationship with him. He's a reality star. As well as, he says, wrote all her lyrics. They dated for nearly 10 years before parting ways in 2014. She was talking about him on a radio interview. She said he lied about writing lyrics for her and said, "How dare you bite the hand that feeds you?" So he responds on Twitter with a ton of accusations, including one where he claimed Nicki Minaj once stabbed him.
Holy crap. Whoa.
And he had to lie as he was on a gurney and say that he was suicidal. And it wasn't, yeah, it was just all him. He didn't want to get her in trouble. So Minaj fires back in a series of not real safe for work tweets, accusing him of stealing her credit card. She also said that she paid a doctor, and then she dropped this one, the same one that Tyga used, to repair his hairline. I mean, what's happening?
Wow.
What are you doing?
That's pretty strong.
So I not only paid for you to get plugs, it's the same one Tyga used. Like, now she's throwing him under the bus for,
Did this all come out because of something on her new album?
It's because of an interview that she did. On
interview,
the radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is great timing for her with Queen just
Absolutely.
Out a couple of days.
I mean,
she is loving this, and they were both tops of Black Twitter yesterday.
Absolutely, it was a fun thing to follow. But then I thought, this is it's like watching a couple fight.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. But
yeah, it's very
most of the time that's not fun. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. No. And speaking of, you know, just letting it all hang out on social media. Dane Cook, comedian, took to his Instagram stories to answer some questions from fans because people are very curious about his relationship with his 19-year-old girlfriend that he's been dating for over a year because he's 46.
Mm-hmm.
And Dane Cook thinks, you know, it's just a number, but he wanted to answer some questions for people. And he said the only thing that you have to do is plan that your deaths will be somewhat far apart.
That
your
what? Your
deaths.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that really is the bad thing about being in a relationship with a teenager is that you'll probably die long before her. He also answered, "How did they meet?" "Well, we met at a game night that I host at my place. We were friends for a while and soon after fell in like with each other and then upgraded to love. She's smart, kind, creative, loyal, and honest."
Shut up.
How long could they have been friends for?
Right?
Well, that's my question. I'm not great at math.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But they've been dating for over a year.
Okay.
How old is she?
19.
19.
Okay. Mm. All right. Mm. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't disagree with you guys at all that it's icky and neither one of them should be involved.
Okay. But.
But devil's advocate now.
Mm-hmm.
She's loving being with a famous rich person living the wildest life she ever possibly could have imagined. He's nailing a teenager. They're both kind of getting what they want. They're going into it knowing what it is. They're both happy. Why should the rest of us care whether they're doing that or not?
Yeah. She's a child.
Like I said, I think it's icky, and I wish it didn't happen. I'm not supporting it, but I'm trying to understand why. Because they're both adults who are making conscious decisions that they're voluntarily with each other for the reasons they're both getting what they want out of it. Mm-hmm. Why should we care if they're happy?
I don't think I care one way or another, but if I had a 18, maybe 17-year-old daughter that had met a man in his mid-40s,
sure,
and she said, I'm thinking of dating him, mm-hmm, I'd be disgusted.
Okay. What if it was a celebrity named John Mayer?
Maybe more disgusted. Plus, he just got his house broken into. It isn't safe. No. I remember when I was a freshman in high school and a senior asked me to prom, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And my dad was like, oh, hell no, you're not going to prom with a senior. And I was mad for a year. And then when I got older, I was like, what the hell did a senior want with a freshman? What a gross dude he was. And I was a young freshman.
Yeah.
Ew. Thanks, Dad, is all I'm saying. But, I mean, let's be honest. Men, 46. Mm-hmm. What? That's mentally 25?
Roughly, yeah. Roughly, sure.
So maybe it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I did enjoy one of the comments underneath an article I read about this. A woman said, you know why a nearly 50-year-old man dates a teenager? Because none of us will put up with his S. She was like, oh, damn. All right. So I guess we'll leave it at that. Good for you for nailing a teenager, I believe I heard a man on the radio say. Some birthdays for you. Ben Affleck. Anthony Anderson, Deborah Messing, Joe Jonas.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
I don't know if all of them are they?
I think.
Okay, well.
Cartman says it.
Mm-hmm. And happy birthday to Jennifer Lawrence, and that's what's happening.
Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, turn his mic on. Just turn his mic. He's invited. Beer Mug is supposed to be in here
Mug's
now.
Mug's in the studio. What
yes,
I?
We understand.
Do
that.
I turn on his mic?
You turn on his mic. He's here to play. Bead makes his guest.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bead makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bead makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bead is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bead makes his guess.
Yes.
Keep asking Omar.
It's fine. Make some adjustments.
It's fine. I don't feel like some of those sound bites are appropriate
it's
for this
fine.
Game.
Don't worry about it.
Trying to be a quiz master here. All right, guys, this is a little bit of a rerun. Back in May of this year, I asked you to guess for me the top 10 girl baby names in the United States for 2017. You were terrible at it.
Wow.
I think Muggs won with a couple of them, but nobody was coming up with the Emmas and the Olivias and the Isabellas and the Sophias of the world. So it was a low point game when
right.
we played it in May. Let's see how you do on the boys' side. Let's see how you do on the most popular baby boy names in the United States last year. They're all names you know, all names you've heard of. It's just a question of coming up with them and guessing them. So, Kevin, you, as we do historically, get to go first. What name is in the top 10 baby boy lists in America for last year?
Adolf.
Oh, shoot. It may be just outside the top 10.
Oh, shoot.
I only see those. No, excellent guess, but I'm sorry. No Adolf this time around. Beer Mug.
Let's go with Dylan.
That's a fine guess. That's also incorrect, but thank you for that. No Dylan.
How about James?
James is number 4, Allie McKay.
Wow.
James
is like number 47 in my family.
Yeah, that is a name that seems to transcend generations. Mm-hmm. It's a name that never seems to go out of style. All right, Allie is on the board. Adolf, what do you say?
I'm not Adolf. That was just a guess, by the way.
All right.
I'm going to go with Yay. As in Kanye.
No, but I'd be willing to bet there are parents out there who have named their kids Kanye.
They're terrible parents.
They are. They're going to regret that too, man. They're going to regret it. No Yay, I'm sorry to say. Beer Mug, you're up.
Now, can we say like the short part of like a full name, like for instance, Sam or Samuel?
I mean,
sure.
I mean, that's a name.
Is that a guess?
All right, let's go with Sam.
I'm sorry, no Sam. By the way, Sam used to be very popular until the Armenian comedians started appearing on our program.
Makes sense.
And people are like, hell no. All right, Allie, you're up 1-0. What do you have for round two?
How about Luke?
You know what? That's a great guess. No, Luke. Oh. I'm sorry to say. Hmm. You know, even with the advent of Star Wars coming back, you would think that Luke would have been on the list. I would have made the same guess.
I'm gonna go with Doe. as in toe?
I'm sorry, no.
Okay.
All right, top 10 boys baby names last year in America. That's the topic for Bean Makes This Guess. Muggs, not on the board yet. This is a slow start for you.
This is only because my friend Jason just had a baby boy, and he named him this, Sullivan.
I'm supposed to be doing the copy ones.
Is he from Boston?
No, but he just liked the name. I think it was after...
That kid's going to be Sully.
Sully, yeah. Sure. That's what he is.
So
that's
funny.
What he is.
He's named after the pilot who landed the plane.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
How about that? All right. Allie.
David.
No. Surprisingly, it seems like there's always going to be a bunch of Davids. All right. Just go around two more times real fast. Kevin.
Osama.
Again,
is
a valiant
this
effort.
Hold on. Is this worldwide?
No, this is just America.
Oh, shoot.
Muggsy.
Patrick.
No. Muggs is coming up with all the Boston names, isn't he?
He really is. These are all my uncles.
All right, so far we only have one, right?
Yeah. Allie.
Allie had James. That's the only one on the list so far. Let's see if you can get another one.
What about Ian?
I'm sorry, no. Oh. All right, last round, last guess, Kevin.
Carrot.
Carrot, right?
What?
Mm-hmm. If it would have been for Jack Antonoff, Carrot would have been on this list, but I'm sorry. No. Muggs, your last guess. Can you even score?
Andrew.
Is there an Andrew? There is not. There's no Andrew.
Those are good guesses.
They're very
Andrew's
good guesses.
A good guess.
All right, Allie, you already won the game, but you got one more?
Finn.
I'm sorry?
Finn.
There's no Luke. You think it's going to be Finn?
I feel like there's a Celtic name on there, but I don't know what it would be.
You feel like there's a Celtic name.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Like, it's not really like a Seamus or a Killian. But
Were you thinking a Stranger Things kid, Finn? Were you thinking maybe that?
No, I was thinking Finnegan.
Okay.
Finn. Phineas.
Right, I thought you were thinking Finn from Star Wars. From the Star Wars world.
Oh, right.
Here are the top 10 boy baby names in America for 2017.
Darth. BB-8.
Number 10 is Jacob.
That would be BB.
Oh, see, eight I thought is the last biblical name. Names. Is there a Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John?
There are always biblical names on the list.
Guess now.
Number 10 is Jacob. Number 9 is Solomon. Oliver.
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 Oliver. Oliver.
Coming back.
Right?
Coming back, right.
Remember the Brady Bunch?
Number 8 is another biblical name. Elijah is number 8.
All right. Okay.
Number 7 is Mason.
Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that the name of the little yodeling Walmart kid? Is he a Mason?
Sure.
Okay.
Mason be the one that'll take you home. Mason be the one that pay for your phone.
Number 6, I don't even know what that song is at. Number 6 is Benjamin.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Yeah. Number
the
5.
To my left.
Number 5, you guys were talking about, we had brought up movies that may have influenced names. I'm wondering if this one didn't come from the very popular film called Logan.
Logan. Really? Logan's in the top 10?
Number 5.
That's ridiculous.
Number 4 was James. Number 3 is an all-time classic. I don't think it's ever been out of the top 10, and it's William.
Okay. Sure.
Number 2 is another biblical name. It is Noah.
Noah.
Love his bagels.
Oh.
Get and out. Number one.
You guys made me turn on his mic.
It is on us. Number 1 is Liam.
Liam. There's the Celtic name I was looking for.
Liam. By the way, curious to me that there's no John. I always felt like John was an evergreen as well, but not this time around.
So that was a bogus list.
That was hard.
It's not a bogus list. It's actually 100% accurate, Kevin. The top 10 baby boy names from last year. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess,
Hey, Omar's in here. What do I do?
Hey, come on, Kevin.
I'm not beer mug.
His microphone.
Omar's allowed to.
All right, just checking.
Hey, how was your birthday, by the way?
Oh, I raged so hard. So much cocaine.
Yeah?
Just cocaine, mountains of cocaine everywhere.
You love the smell
or
of it.
Or I went to Denny's. Because... What? And I was in bed by 8:30.
Denny's. Right.
I haven't heard them advertise it. Does Denny's still do the free entree on your birthday?
Every year. I go every year. Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
I love that.
This is what's crazy that is that Omar worked there for...
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Usually people who work at a restaurant don't go back.
Right.
They sort of have seen enough of it or smelled it.
Love Denny's.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. And I get all the free birthday stuff.
So
I got my free car wash yesterday.
Sure.
I got my free Grand Slam yesterday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Red Robin, they give you a whole month, your whole birthday month, to go grab a free burger. So I'm going to do that next
week.
Pretty
sweet.
Nice. Did you bring your whole family with you and had a big celebration at Denny's?
Yeah. They didn't like it as much as I thought.
By the way, I was kidding because I assumed you went by yourself.
I have taken my wife to Denny's on her birthday and on my birthday before for the same reason, and she's never excited.
Yeah, my wife's like, really? I'm like, yeah,
because we can go anywhere. Yeah, but I want to go to Denny's.
Yeah.
Well, good to see you. We wish you a happy birthday. And the reason Omar is in here today is we were having a conversation off the air yesterday. How did it even start, by the way? How did passwords even come up? Oh, it was because of the dark web story, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This dark web story is crazy, by the way. You usually hear about these stories where they're stealing your identity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stealing your credit, stealing your social security number, you know, figuring out a way to somehow to screw you out of a bunch of money. This is different. Hundreds of stolen passwords for Netflix, HBO, Hulu, and more discovered on the dark web. So in other words, you can buy somebody else's password. You don't have to You don't have to subscribe. No, it's not. It's illegal, Kevin.
Oh.
So if you don't want to spend the monthly fee on Netflix and HBO and Hulu and more, you just go to the dark web and it says it costs about $8. About $8, you can buy passwords for all of these sites.
How bummed out are you if you buy a password and you get Bean's password? It's like so, because you know how they have like the instant queue for you?
Mm-hmm.
You have a bunch of boring programming on there. You know, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald documentaries and stuff. Like,
that would be a bummer. You go right back to the dark web and buy another one.
I think you can watch whatever you want. I don't think you're stuck to the previous
but they make suggestions.
They do. But so I guess what will end up happening is that, you know, Kevin, you'll get a note. Hey, why are you using Netflix in Moscow right now? Because somebody else will have stolen your password or something. But that got us on the topic of passwords. And then where did we go from there?
Then I brought up the fact that my computer was going to crap in Studio Q.
Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend on Sunday, I got locked out of my email. So I have to go log in and type in a new email.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, you know, a couple of years ago, typed in the email and instantly forgot it.
Right.
And I had to call the IT guy.
You mean password.
Password. My bad. And I had to call the IT guy, and I felt like a giant D-bag.
I got to tell you, you felt like a giant D-bag?
Yeah.
That's daily for me.
Oh, really?
Daily I'm clicking on forgot password.
So I'm like, oh, man. Jeff, I just switched my password, and I instantly forgot it. And I didn't want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I instantly now think of the most absurd thing that comes to my mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the IT guy was here on Monday right after I switched my password. And he's like, hey, I'm going to switch out your computer. I need your password. And I'm like, oh, man, really?
Because you have to make a password that you'll remember no matter what.
No matter what, yeah. So I'm like, and he's like, I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, mine's Big Daddy Pimp. I mean, it's with a capital B.
Sure.
And I started thinking, like, man, my previous password, we were talking a lot about the Cash Me Outside girl.
Right.
So mine was Cash Me Outside 69 before Big Daddy Pimp.
Boom. Oh.
Yeah, because 69, because I'm 10 years old.
Nice. Yeah.
You know?
By the way, I guarantee most of Allie's passwords include 69. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
No one enjoys that more than she does.
What?
I mean, hearing that number on the air and saying nice.
Wow,
That was quite a revelation.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But how did you know?
How did you know?
But Omar, so when you were saying to IT, my password is Big Daddy Pimp, you felt like such a tool because he doesn't know you well enough to know that you did that because it was hilarious. He probably thought, oh, does Omar think a lot of himself?
Right.
I'm like, oh, man, really? You know, I just felt so small. And it got me thinking, everybody probably has those kind of passwords because you have to think about something that you have to remember instantly.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the more absurd, the easier it is to
remember.
Absolutely,
and you're always told, don't write it down. You know, so I was just like, okay, yeah, this is it. And it also got me thinking about my Wi-Fi password.
Mm-hmm.
My Wi-Fi password is Mia Mikey. Mia for my daughter, and then Mikey because we thought my current daughter, Zoe, my youngest, was going to be a boy. So we're going to name her Michael.
Okay.
So Mia Mikey. So we haven't changed that. So
oh, wait,
once we get
wait.
Older...
How old?
Zoe's like 4.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And it's still Mikey?
Yeah, and this, I don't think
one
I'm going to
one day they're
going to
ask, hey, who's yeah. Mikey?
Right? I don't know. It's like,
oh, well, that was you, Zoe.
I was
yeah,
hoping
exactly.
you were a dude.
I was hoping you were a guy. But how many of us have silly passwords, though?
I do.
Kid Dog, yeah.
Because I can never remember. So, like, one of mine was March 21st is bullsh. It's
okay.
my birthday.
All
you
right.
know, it's just anything that I can remember.
Yeah.
Sure.
My brother, Bruce... When I was a kid, I always blamed stuff on him, so I would put, Bruce probably did it. Because you have to, it has to be something that you can remember no matter what.
Yeah.
So I've had 1,000 of those. And like I said, I keep hitting on forgot password.
Yeah.
And a lot of these places don't let you reuse some of the words that you used before.
Right.
And that's
yes.
BS.
And
yes.
how much time do you waste clicking the forgot
so
password
much.
And getting the little text mm-hmm. and entering the code and going through the entire process? That's just annoying.
So then I also used Bringing Sexy Back once just because
sure.
I thought it was funny. But it required some kind of a character.
Mm-hmm.
So I put question mark.
here at K-Rock, I'm sorry, Allie. Here at K-Rock, we have to, for whatever reason, have to change our password like every month, too.
Yeah.
So you burn through a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's super annoying.
I often like to make my password something that I need a reminder of.
Okay.
Maybe something that you either need to bring into your life or stop doing.
You're a good person.
Right. Except my last one was don't date comics.
Don't date comics.
Right?
Okay.
But the don't and date, the D and then the D and then the C, all uppercase.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah.
That'd be ridiculous.
It had to be something that, and then every morning I would type it in. I'm like, you're right, Allie, don't.
That's a great
so
idea,
weird.
By the way.
Give that yourself a little pep talk every time you put in your password.
Why not?
Very smart. By the way, we've got a couple of minutes here to include some phone calls if you want to call. If you had an especially dumb or funny password for your email or for your Wi-Fi, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. I wish I had better stories to contribute. Mine would be my passwords would be super boring.
Because
to you, guys.
You can probably remember them easier.
Yeah. Well, I do, but I also, I mean, I guess a lot of people probably pick stuff they like to. Like, I've had passwords for every legendary AM radio station you can imagine. My password will be 89 WLS Chicago, for instance. That'll be a password mm-hmm. for me because that's something I'm always going to, you know, keep in my heart.
You could also put, like, nerd with capital N's.
Remember when we were trying to figure out Muggs' phone password?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was boobs, but backwards with numbers?
Yeah.
8008.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
love
so
that.
Muggsy,
by
that's
the
so
way.
Muggsy.
Allie, didn't you tell us once that there's a funny Wi-Fi in your neighborhood? A funny Wi-Fi password in your neighborhood?
Well, mine
this is the name of the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, mine is Alderaan Places, but I often look to see what other people's are, and
mm-hmm.
I always get mad when I see Doug's mom, and I'm like, ugh.
At least
cares?
Try.
Who cares that you're Doug's mom?
Doug hates you.
Doug hates you, and so do we.
By the way, Alderaan Places is pretty strong.
That
Thank
is
you.
Strong.
Thank you.
That's very funny, very Star Warsy, and very punny. It's kind of got it all going
Thank
on.
You.
So 1-800-520-1067. They're screening a bunch of calls right now if you have a funny Wi-Fi or,
I also,
or email password.
I also used all of the sports teams that I love. I went through those way early, like a long time ago, and then they say, oh, you can't use that anymore. I'm like, come on now. I only have so many sports teams I care about.
Right.
So then I started using the arm wrestling guy. Just kidding.
I've had a wide assortment of Edmund Fitzgerald-related passwords over the years.
That is shocking.
You know, the captain's name, you know, other crew members that we lost.
Sure, right. Because that was such a great time. Yeah, we.
Facts very, very about uplifting. Lake Superior. I mean, I've had it all. All right, let's squeeze in a couple of calls on this. Why don't we try
JD?
Let's try JD. Yes, Line 6 JD, please, in Los Angeles. I think he's a perfect example of what we're looking for.
Hey, JD.
Hey, what's up?
Password you can remember.
Hi. So, basically, for the longest time, there was a TV show called Back in the Barnyard, and it was great. And there was this one catchphrase that stuck with me, and it was milk me. And so that was my password.
Your password was milk me?
Yep, for 10 years.
Are you sure that Back in the Barnyard wasn't on Pornhub?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a real show.
It was a cow, right? But the cow had udders for some reason. But basically, a boy cow that had udders. And he would always be like, milk me, when he was upset. So I love that.
You sure it wasn't back in the boneyard?
Right?
All right. We need to learn more about JD.
I know.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Julie Woodland Hills up next, line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think this is going to be fun, you guys. We got some good ones. Yes, Julie.
Hi there.
What's up?
Hi. Mine wasn't a password, but I would name my Wi-Fi to give my neighbors messages, like, the lawn won't mow itself.
Nice.
Awesome.
I never thought
that's
of that.
That's really smart. That's a great idea, Julie. Thank you. And by the way, that's a lot of people want to send a message to their neighbors. You know, hey, keep it down after 10. You know, stuff like that. All right. Let's try Kyle Westminster up next, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So mine was don't hack my S.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You just put it out there to any hackers that come across you. Just say, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do it.
All right.
And the one thing I know about hackers is they love to follow the rules.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. Let's go down to Kevin Temple City. He's on line 8. Kevin, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What was yours?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
FBI surveillance van number 2.
Oh.
You gotta screw with the neighbors, you know, make them be clean.
Nice.
That's pretty strong too, thank you.
Katie texted us from the 818. My neighbor's Wi-Fi name is Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi. Bad, you guys. Not too bad. Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
So you're 5 white kids from Boston.
Okay.
You decide to go to the Apollo for amateur night to sing. This is 30 years ago. You start getting booed immediately because who are these 5 white kids on stage at the Apollo trying to sing?
Right.
And then they launch into their song, Please Don't Go Girl, and the whole crowd goes nuts. That's what happened to New Kids on the Block.
NKOTB.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, that's New Kids on the Block.
NKOTB, New Kids on the Block. That's what happened 30 years ago. It's what launched them, helped launch them into superstardom, if you will. Well, yesterday they announced that they're planning to celebrate the 30th anniversary of that breakout album, Hangin' Tough, by taking the stage at Harlem's Apollo Theater for a
They're
special...
from Canada.
They are not. They are from Boston. I just said that.
She did just say that.
It's a special one-night engagement. That's pretty cool that after 30 years, you can go back to where you were kind of launched into superstardom and play one night, right?
That is cool.
Please Don't Go Girl is still my favorite New Kids on the Block song.
Is it?
Even with all the other great songs they had after that, that's still my favorite.
I get it.
Do you tear up, Dean?
That was my fun fact, by the way.
That was not fun. Do you tear up?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Which was your favorite New Kid?
Mine was Larry.
Yeah, no one really talks about Larry anymore. Yeah,
I don't know. I think my favorite was Mark Wahlberg because he left and then they exploded into the biggest band in the world. I think that's my favorite.
You're not going to go with his brother, with Donnie?
No, he just likes the story of somebody leaving the group just before they.
He's like Pete Best was to the Beatles. He's like, oh man, not that it hasn't worked out fine for Mark Wahlberg, but it's hilarious at the time was what it must have been like. I don't want to be in your stupid boy band,
right? Okay, all right, I get it.
How about you? Who's your favorite? You're a Jordan girl, right?
No,
really,
Team Joey.
Really?
Always. I was always all about Joey McIntyre. Always my favorite.
All right.
However, I did sit next to Jordan Knight on a plane.
Okay.
We chatted.
That must have been fun.
It was awesome.
For you.
Yeah. He hated it. He did the whole, like, headphones on, not listening. But I kept talking.
Sure.
Sure.
You don't want to be stopped by that.
Yeah, just like here. How dare you. Again, truthful. But hurtful. You guys, we all know it's not easy being a Browns fan.
Yeah, right.
They went 0-16 last year. That means they lost every game. For people that don't know what 0-16 means, they are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Once the 2018 NFL season is kicked off, with it comes the promise.
Sure.
Of free Bud Light to hopeful Cleveland Brown fans across the city.
All right, now you're talking my language.
What do you mean by that, Allie? Well, Anheuser-Busch has announced that they're going to be placing Bud Light Victory fridges at bars throughout Cleveland that will automatically unlock via a Wi-Fi connection after the Browns win their first regular season game. The refrigerators will also be placed at Cleveland's First Energy Stadium. So you're in a bar watching the game. Woo! They win. Boop! The fridge unlocks. You get a free beer.
All right.
That's a great promotion.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have to change out the cans or the bottles after like 5-6 years?
Harsh.
Because it does spoil.
Right.
It does spoil.
That's what
I'm
worried about.
It's not in this article because this article isn't mean. But yeah, each fridge will contain 200 to 300 16-ounce bottles, and only those already in the bar will be eligible. So don't think you're just walking down the street, you hear from someone on Twitter that the Browns won, so you stop in a bar for a free beer. No. You have to be in there. You have to put in the time.
You think people in Cleveland are not putting in the time in a bar?
I think that's mostly what they're doing. Absolutely. But I think that, what a great promotion.
It is.
Agreed.
So smart.
I haven't really been following a lot of the trade moves in the offseason, but have the Browns made any improvements? Is there an expectation of a better season?
Jarvis Landry came from the Dolphins. A couple other dudes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it does seem like they're trying.
Yeah.
So might they win? I hate to say this out loud and jinx them. Might they win 2 games this year?
Well, let's not get crazy.
I said they're going to win 4.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They'd have a parade, wouldn't they?
Well, sure.
At 4?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Amazing.
We're in the middle of the pack.
I like it. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about a little man named Lindsey Buckingham. You might know him from Fleetwood Mac. You will now know him as the pettiest mofo ever.
Is that right?
Yeah, we will talk about that coming up in just a bit. But first, some birthdays for you. Joe Jonas.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Okay. Deborah Messing, Anthony Anderson, Ben Affleck, and Jennifer Lawrence. What a great group. Mostly Deborah Messing, because she's on Will and Grace, and I love it so much. That's what's happening.
John M. Chu, director of the much-anticipated Crazy Rich Asians in theaters today, by the way. What kind of voodoo magic is that, where there's a Wednesday movie that it's not like Thanksgiving week or something?
I don't know, but I love it.
All right, we'll ask John about that when he joins us in just a few minutes. First, though, you got to refresh my memory here, Kevin. You do or do not watch the news?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. I forgot. You're a kid. Well, maybe you have missed the excitement that has been going on in the state of Vermont. They had a runoff yesterday for the Democrats and the Republicans to find out who is going to be going up against each other for the governor in November. And there were a couple of candidates that were very interesting on the Democratic side. One of them that I will introduce you to is Ethan Sonneborn. Have you heard the name Ethan Sonneborn?
I have not.
He is 14.
Okay, wait. And what? And what's this for?
Governor of Vermont. Yes.
Of the state.
There are two states in America, Kansas being the other, where there is no age limit on running for governor. The only requirement is that you have to be a U.S. citizen and you have to have lived in the state for at least 4 years. Well, Ethan nails both of those. He's lived in the state for 14 years. His whole life. His whole life he's lived in Vermont. Here's an announcement from January 20th this year when he made the announcement he was running for governor.
Hello. I'm Ethan Sonneborn. I'm 13 years old. I like dogs, basketball, and fishing. I'm also running for governor of Vermont.
So he was 13 at the time. Dogs, basketball, and fishing. I mean, what's not to like about that campaign, right?
Everyone here today and all across our country, know this. We are America's future.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Right. But maybe distant future.
By the way,
for a 13-year-old.
A lot of people with that announcement, giving them a lot of support and a lot of applause, I think. All right, here he is talking about, obviously, the number one question that people ask is, look, dude, you're 14. He's 13 at the time of the announcement. He's had a birthday since. You're 14. How can you possibly think that you are qualified to be the governor of a state?
My age hasn't played as large a role in my campaign as one might think. Everywhere I go, my message transcends age. I decided to run for governor after I saw the failure by so many in politics to work for their constituents instead of working for lobbyists and corporations.
By the way, he has a little bit of a slush mouth.
Yes, he does.
A little bit. I don't know if
and every word includes an S.
I don't know if it's his retainer or what's going on, but it does seem like that's kind of noticeable. And I think that makes a difference when you're giving a speech.
I felt like there was a new generation of leadership that could be doing a better job in our state. The way we win this election, and I think the way we govern effectively, is by making sure that people know that government is looking out for them. I can sum up my campaign in a simple phrase. It's the job of government to make people's lives easier. 2018 is a year where people from all over the socioeconomic spectrum, people from backgrounds that aren't like that of the typical politician, they're running for office, and I'm a part of that, I think.
All right, now you can mock this kid if you want, and I'm sure you will, Kevin.
How dare you?
But he sounds pretty smart. And he sounds like a guy who maybe isn't ready to be governor now, mm-hmm. but he's got the mindset of somebody who is serious about making a difference. And let's support him and encourage him, because in the future he may be something, right?
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
And like I said, what can go wrong with hiring somebody who's completely unqualified to public office? There's no downside to that. And I'm impressed that his competitors in this Democratic runoff to find out who's going to be on the ticket in November, I'm impressed that they take him seriously. Like, there are candidate debates on television where he's got his seat at the table and he's answering the questions about how he's going to improve health care.
I would love to see the debates with him just destroying people.
Right? He's like, I got to wrap this up by 8, though. My mom needs me home. That's not a problem.
For instance, here's James Ellers. He is a Navy veteran who also has a great deal of support in Vermont. Here's what he has to say about little Ethan.
Ethan obviously is motivated to try to change things. I'm so excited about the possibility of the youth rising up.
So he's not discounting and going to beat it, kid. He's not doing that, right?
Right. Yes.
Here's Christine Hallquist, who, by the way, spoiler alert, ends up winning the campaign yesterday, and she will be on the Democratic
ticket. I just found out about Ethan. He already lost.
And now, here's Christine, and there's something interesting about her that also made history. She's not 14, but listen.
I like Ethan. He's 13. And I'll just leave it at that.
I don't know why there needs to be so much music on
right,
these clips,
so loud.
By the way. I don't, right. Christine, you may have noticed her voice, Kevin, is the first transgender candidate on a major party ticket to run for governor in the United States. And she is very popular. She ended up with 48.3% of the vote yesterday. And apparently, Vermont is a very progressive state. She says it has been an issue with a very few number of people. People look at her and they go, oh, transgender, and then move on to talk about what's important to them, which is how to make Vermont a better place.
Finally.
So it's very cool. And the final clip I have from Ethan, and you may be wondering, what's the most difficult part about being 14 years old and trying to run a campaign?
Running a campaign in Vermont is not especially expensive. But it has been logistically difficult to get around the state. Oh. I have to rely on rides from various forms of people, whether it's friends and family or volunteers.
Mom, I got a speech.
Can you imagine?
Can't make it to the speech.
Right. I couldn't get a ride. Seriously, I've got a debate in Montpelier, Mom. You got to give me a ride.
Is he hitchhiking?
I don't know what he's doing. His campaign manager, by the way, is 15 years old, is a classmate. His whole team is people from high school.
Seems solid.
He's going to be a sophomore next year, and it looks like he's not going to have to worry about quitting school to run the state of Vermont. But there he is, guys. He got so close. 8% of the vote. There's now that you've met Ethan Sonneborn. John M. Chu, welcome back.
What's up?
How are you, sir?
Good. It's good to be back.
Are you crazy and rich and Asian? Are you personally all three of those?
I'm a little bit crazy and definitely Asian. The rich part I'm working on.
Well, after this weekend, I suspect you're going to be fine, John. Last time we had you in, I think, was for Now You See Me 2.
Yes.
And we had a wonderful time talking with you there, and I'm so excited you are back. The buzz on this movie, I mean, you are just hanging on a rocket ride right now. Are you amazed at how well received this thing has been, really, before it even opened today?
Yeah, I'm used to like selling on my Twitter account. On my
sort of fighting people to get their interest.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Yeah. Even convincing my friends and family. But this one is This one's the opposite. Everyone has given so much support. It is. I can't wait to see people's reactions when they actually go see it.
And I've seen some great think pieces. I'm sure you've seen them as well, of people who have gone to the screenings and just walked out beaming. I mean, I've never seen a movie where there are so many people who want to get selfies in front of the poster for the movie. It's turned into such an event for so many people, particularly Asians, and that just must be so gratifying for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a Justin Bieber concert. It's insane. to see people come to me weeping and crying of what it means to them, and this is Asians and non-Asians actually as well. I think it's just part of this bigger movement of movies that tell stories that haven't been told and perspectives that haven't been seen.
You said that you were so overwhelmed by the positive response to this movie that you cry about every 4 hours.
It's still going. I've already had a cry this morning.
Is that ideal?
In the middle of the night. I'm not sure. I have to drink a lot of water.
You were even crying on set. That the characters, like, people would look over and you would realize, this is what we're doing for... Oh, don't. You let this man be emotional about something beautiful and the representation up on the screen.
You know, I'm not a crier. I don't know where this all came from.
You're a crier, it's beautiful because it's something so many people have been wanting and needing to see someone that looks like them up on the screen.
Yeah, I think it's this.
It doesn't do martial arts.
And that doesn't do martial arts. It isn't a computer nerd, the technician in the back. I think it means a lot to a lot of people and different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it pushes a button that hasn't been pushed.
Yeah. Now, forgive me if this is a dumb white guy question, John, but
questions are dumb white guy questions.
Yeah, that's right. There are dozens of different countries that have Asian populations. So this movie is for Japanese, it's for Korean, it's for Thai, it's for Indonesian, it's for everybody, right?
It's for everyone, and not just Asian people, for anyone who's come from someplace and goes home. You know, this is the thing that got me about the story, is an Asian American going to Asia for the first time. That sort of outsider-insider feeling is something that I thought I was alone in growing up in America, living here with my family owning a Chinese restaurant, but it's actually shared by a lot of people.
Oh, tell me about that. So at what age did you go? You're Chinese?
Yeah, I'm Chinese.
Okay. At what age did you go to China for the first time then?
I went to Taiwan when I was 9 years old. And when you get there, I didn't expect anything. I'm an all California kid.
it's a foreign country.
It's a foreign country. I'm like, what am I going to eat? But the food was fantastic, of course. And they treat you like, oh, they're your son at this store. Or they treat you like a cousin at this store. And that I never felt that kind of just no judgment right up front. Not that I even realized that was happening here. Mm-hmm. And then they call you something like Guaylo, which is white devil. And so then you're like,
we get called that a lot.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm not a part of this either. So you come home and you feel like you have to choose, which is a false narrative. You don't have to choose, but that's as a kid, you don't know, and you don't want to be you don't want to go to school smelling like Chinese food. So you hide that part of your life. I didn't have to deal
with it.
It's
a weird
until
judgment
recently.
That you have to worry about.
Yeah, I used to throw away. My parents used to make me dumplings, and I would throw it away before going to school. And so.
Oh my gosh.
Say things that your family says, but they have an accent, so you say it in their accent way at school, and it's like, it's very, very embarrassing.
Now, when the president figures out a way to deport you, will you enjoy living in Taiwan, do you think?
No comment on that one.
What is wrong with you, Dean?
That's where we're headed. Come on.
All I know is in this environment, it really got me thinking about who I am, who we are, what America is. And I was always taught America's the greatest place in the world. My parents didn't even know the language when they got here, and they started business. It's going to be their 50th year this year.
That's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing. You can do anything here if you love what you do and you work hard. And I'm in the most American business in the world, the Hollywood business, with no connections. It's pretty amazing.
We're talking to director John M. Chu. Again, the film is called Crazy Rich Asians. It is last time I checked last night, it was still at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's it? Just 100?
Just 100. It's in theaters everywhere today. The book that this is based on, I did not read. It's about, 5 years ago? And that's what the storyline is about people... Are they going to Asia for a wedding or something? What takes them there?
Yeah, I didn't read the book either. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's an Asian American woman teaching at NYU, and she's dating this guy, the Singaporean guy, and he invites her to his best friend's wedding. What she doesn't know is he comes from the richest family in Singapore, so all the claws are out for her. Her parents, her friends, her ex ex-girlfriends of his, and so she goes in there. And
that
it's
comes across
craziness.
So well in the trailer. You just feel like she's being attacked from all sides.
Yes, but what's fun about it is it's not about getting the guy. This is about her own self-worth and discovering this other side to herself that she's never explored and coming. We always call it like the dragon being born within her, and she comes out stronger and better. Spoiler alert. And she has to battle Michelle Yeoh, this huge force on the other side, which is his mother.
She's a different kind of Wonder Woman, really. She's got to go in there and just be a superhero and just make it happen.
Yeah, and who better to do that than Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat? She's
seriously
fierce.
By the way, could she be any prettier either?
She's amazing. She's so talented, so smart, so on top of it. She definitely kicked my butt throughout the
movie. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Your cast is amazing. We have to take a quick break, John, if you don't mind, if you can stick around, because I have a couple questions about the cast. Henry, I have such a crush on Henry Golden. I understand this is his first ever acting job, which is just crazy for me.
True.
So I want to hear more about it. Crazy Rich Asians is the movie. More with our guest, John Chu, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
John M. Chu is here. The movie is Crazy Rich Asians. It's opening today.
Yes.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out. Sometimes you'll see that if there's a big holiday weekend ahead, but it's a regular old Wednesday. How did you swing this, John?
Speak for yourself. The Wednesday for me, I haven't slept all night. No, I think we want to show the movie. We want to get word of mouth in the middle of the week, and I know that that's
that way
that's
it ramps up for the weekend.
Yeah, we believe in the movie, and we believe that's the best advertisement for our movie. And if you're probably driving around, you probably see one of our billboards or posters somewhere in the city. So make sure to check it out.
Yes, they are doing a wonderful job of publicizing the fact that the movie is coming out.
Sorry about that.
No, it's good. So it's an almost exclusively Asian cast. So I would imagine that every actor in Hollywood wanted to be a part of this. Was that tough? I mean, did you get to the point where you had to like cut people, or you couldn't put everybody in the movie?
Yes, Scarlett Johansson called me. I'm just kidding.
I love her.
I get it.
I got emails from all my uncles, my aunts. They're like, hey, I'm good looking. Can I be in a movie? I heard there aren't Asian actors. I can be an actor. No, the myth of there are no Asian actors out here is ridiculous. We saw so many people. It's just the structure of how they get seen is not built, because there are no parts for those type of people. Leading Asian men, comedians, all these different roles. So we had to go on a search. We had casting directors in almost every continent around the world. It was pretty insane. Saw some very, very talented people.
And you picked a guy for your lead who has never acted.
Of course. Why not? Sounds like a great idea.
Tell us Henry Golding's story, because I am fascinated by this.
So Henry Golding, we had literally so many casting directors, we'd seen over 1,000 people for this role. We were 2 weeks before deciding. We were flying all over the world to meet the finalists.
You saw over 1,000 people for this role?
Yeah.
For the whole movie. That's just for Nick Young?
That's for Nick Young. We had, there was YouTube videos. I don't know if you saw, we had like a sort of online thing, because I knew that we had to dig up people who never thought they had a feature here. So for him in particular, we got a message from our accountant in Malaysia, who said she saw this presenter 5 years ago and her assistants were obsessed with him. So I cyber-stalked him. I loved his videos. He was part aristocrat, part adventurer. He loved people. He's doing travel shows. So
that seems like it sort of fits in with his character.
It was perfect. He had this perfect British accent, which is described in the book. But he had never done anything. So I found a mutual friend of ours on Facebook, amazingly.
No.
Technology
Stop
doing
it.
His thing.
Friends
yes.
you might know. No.
Steve Jang in the Silicon Valley is a VC, and so he connected us. And then I said, hey, dude, can you read these lines? Can you read at least? And he did it, and he did a great job. And he left his honeymoon, 2 days into his honeymoon, to audition for us. And I didn't promise him a good outcome, but I said it could be great if you killed it. And he did.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Was it difficult to convince people to have a guy that didn't have any acting?
With just the story, yes. But when you see him on screen, this guy is from another era. He is a movie star through and through. Asian or not, you could see him in all those old classic movies. It felt like this kind of person does not exist anymore.
He's a babe.
I mean, look, there's that too. I know I said I kind of had a crush on him, but it's exactly what you're talking about. He has that thing, that X factor, like George Clooney does, where you don't have to know anything about him, but you just see him on the screen and you go, this dude's got it.
Yeah, he's timeless for
sure. That effortless charm is what we always try to say. And we needed that because in the movie, Nick Young doesn't tell her about his wealth.
Right.
Which is kind of lame to do. And you have to like him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you like Henry no matter what.
Now, this book, Crazy Rich Asians, is part of a trilogy, correct?
Yeah, three books.
So you got to be thinking, cha-ching, let's get this going. I got two more.
This is the Crazy Rich Asians cinematic universe.
That's what I'm saying, right?
A Crazy Rich Asians story. We would love to tell more stories. Yeah. That's why we packed it with such great actors, potent actors that could take over a whole movie by themselves. But that's up to the audience this weekend. If they show up, then we're ready.
How long did you work on this movie start to finish?
I was on it probably 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And then it comes down to...
Which is actually pretty short for a movie. Yeah. I mean, they had been working on it maybe a year before I got on there even. So,
and then does it all come down to this weekend? Or is it basically you sort of...
No, I mean, the
idea.
Movie itself is one thing. I think the bigger movement that we're a small part of is another thing. And
right.
I think the movie, to see people's reactions, to make a great movie is an accomplishment in ourselves. And I feel like that's what we set out to do. Beyond all the stress of all the other pressures, like, let's make an entertaining movie that we can have a great time, escape from this world in for a second, and see us for who we are. The other one is, can this movie break out so that more movies like this can be told so we don't depend on this one story to tell all the stories of Asians? That's just
right.
not fair.
Right.
So we want other
Absolutely.
Stories to be told.
This is, again, the voice of director John M. Chu, our guest here on The Kevin and Bean Show. His worldwide box office total as a director, by the way, is well over $1 billion, thanks to
I
movies.
I didn't get a lot of that. I wish.
Thanks to movies like G.I. Joe Retaliation, Now You See Me Too, the Step Up movies, and one of the best music documentaries of all time, Never Say Never, the Bieber one.
And
I have to ask, were you always attached to Crazy Rich Asians, or did you have to like arm wrestle Ang Lee or something?
There was a script that was sitting there, and but they had no choice. I told them I was going to do this. Whether they wanted me or not. So.
Well, you mean there was a script sitting there? What does that mean? So, it had been waiting?
So they had
for
been
a while?
Developing a script and were trying to figure out what to do with it next. Whether they're going to do it independently, go to a studio. And my sister emailed me about the movie. My mom emailed me about the movie, about the book, actually. And so then I called my agent about it and he sent it to me. And he said, how do you know they just sent it to you at the same time that you called? And I was like, I didn't know. So when those things happen, you know you're meant to do this.
Fantastic. One more thing, only because my wife is fascinated by this because she's really, really into fashion, is the most beautiful clothes in the world are in your film, right?
We have an amazing costume designer, Mary Voigt. It's a fashion show. It's not what the movie's about, but of course,
because these people are so rich, it would make sense they would dress well.
Yes, of course. And it's not just what you can buy; it's how creative you can be with your stuff. We have an amazing wedding dress where she walks through the aisle on water, barefoot, and that wedding dress hand beaded,
like people do.
Like people do. So it's been really fun to show off that fashion and also Asian designers in there as well. So.
When I first saw the trailer, I watched it online, and I was like, there's something so different about just the trailer. The mm-hmm. colors seem to be more vibrant than you see in any other movie, and I thought, this is truly something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't wrap my head around it, and I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't quite wrap my head around it all the way. But when you read it, when you were going through the motions of directing it, were you like, this is different? This is special.
Absolutely. I saw those colors right from the original read. I could see, and I also had been checking off all these different actors. Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show, who's so funny.
Yep.
Jimmy O. Yang from Silicon Valley. Constance Wu, Michelle Yeoh, Ken Jeong, of course. Awkwafina, the amazing Awkwafina.
So
all these people I had in my the Avengers of Asian actors. Gemma Chan. So in my mind, I was filling them in. And so I already saw this movie on the first read, and I was really excited. I didn't know if the rest of the world would see that pop, but I knew that we had the goods.
Well, you've got us hyped up, John. We're all going to be going to see Crazy Rich Asians. Before we let you go, I do have to ask one thing. Is it true that, I mean, I guess I know it's true, but I want to hear you talk about the Lin-Manuel Miranda project that you're working on next.
Yeah, I just got a great tour of Washington Heights in New York. We're going to be from him himself. We're going to be shooting that next summer. It's his big musical that he did many years ago. I'm very, very excited. All Latino cast. So
In the Heights was the name of it, right?
Yes.
That's the one that he won Tony's for and everything.
Yeah, best
before
musical.
He did Hamilton.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, it's man. Brilliant. You're, and it's, you're making a movie.
All about immigrants having their home in Washington Heights, and it's a joyful, joyful experience.
And when does that come out? Like 2 years, 3 years?
That comes out probably in a year after that.
Year after
so
that,
like 2 years, something like that.
Well, I'm so happy for you for your continued success, and it just must be so gratifying to be able to work in the industry that you love and actually do something that you feel is important and is making the world a better place.
It is. Even my parents, we had our publicity junket at their restaurant.
And that's awesome.
They were so excited that they brought all my high school awards to the table.
Oh, that's not needed.
Why? They literally showed it off to the journalists. I was very embarrassed.
What was the most embarrassing one?
My mascot picture.
Your mascot?
I was a mascot for 2 years. But let me tell you, if you're the only guy at cheerleading camp, it's not a bad gig.
Okay.
And,
you
know,
it's a good point.
Whatever you have to
tell
yourself, John.
That's a good point.
I'm going to cry again now. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys okay?
I'm not positive. Give me a second.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure how I did that. I just destroyed my head with my headphones. Okay. It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Want to go see Panic at the Disco at the Staples Center tonight? You can. We have tickets for you coming up in an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And you'll be qualified to see them again this weekend at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Talk about hotel stay at the MGM Grand. $100 gas card. Stryker announces that grand prize winner of everybody who wins the tickets for the show tonight at 5 o'clock this afternoon here on K-Rock.
Not that I'm not listening to that, but how great was John Cho?
Amazing.
John Chu was
even better.
Yeah. He was even better.
John Cho's great, but John Chu was wonderful.
A lot
of fun. Fantastic.
Yeah. A lot of fun, and the movie looks great.
I agree.
That dude better get some naps in.
He's been doing a lot.
He's going to be really busy for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
At least he doesn't also have a newborn at home.
On top of everything else he's doing.
Right.
Man.
He's awesome.
All right. Time for another look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
I wish I had that on video. I've never seen a pair of headphones attack a man like I saw
that was
right
odd.
Before that. That
it was odd and it stunned me.
It was stunning to watch, so I can imagine. You
bonk,
were stunned.
Bonk,
bonk,
that
indeed.
Was odd.
I missed it. Can you do it again?
No.
Oh, it was unreal. Unreal what I just witnessed.
I mean, it really hurt.
I thought Christine was going to pee her pants. She left here laughing harder than I've ever heard her laugh.
Yeah.
No offense.
No worries.
To you. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Kevin, goddammit.
I assumed that was funny to watch, but it hurt like a mother.
All right. Well, can I interest you in the soothing, dulcet sounds of Steve Perry? Do you remember him?
Sure.
From Journey, right?
Sure.
He is back with new music. He hasn't put out an album in nearly a quarter century. And we all thought he was done with music. And he even talks about it on his website, saying, I just wasn't feeling it anymore. By the late 90s, I could barely even listen to music. What?
Wow. What do you suppose that's about?
That, wow.
I don't know.
He was the lead singer for one of the biggest bands in the world for years and years. And then he left. And I just thought it was, you know, band problems like so many groups have.
Right.
And then he had a solo career and he put out a couple of solo records. And it just seemed like that's the direction he was going to go, like so many others.
And those were successful, right?
They were. The first one was especially. And then he just fell off the face of the earth and just became a recluse. And I think even when Journey got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if I remember correctly, he wouldn't sing with them. It just seems like he didn't want to have anything to do with singing.
Yeah. He met a woman named Dr. Kelly Nash, and she was battling breast cancer in 2011. He fell in love with her, and she passed away the next year, and she made him promise not to keep isolating himself. So that's her dying wish for him to get back out there, stop being this recluse. So very interesting. But he put out new music, and it's an album called Traces that will be out this fall, and here is the first single. It's called No Erasin'.
Boopy dee scoop.
Nope.
Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop.
He's going a different direction.
Whoop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop.
It's not him. No, that's Kanye.
Oh.
Yeah.
I believe I have it.
Okay.
If you guys want to hear some Steve Perry.
Thank God.
No more faking it.
Nope.
This time in life, I'm making it.
Oh, he's getting better.
No, Bean, that was you yesterday.
He's getting
singing,
better.
Oh, making
I'm
it.
Sorry. I have the
from
clip.
Meatballs.
I have it. Let me play the clip, because let's stop screwing around.
Yeah,
Mr.
Please.
Bombastic. Again. Baby Fantastic.
Nope.
Touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
That is Muggs singing Shaggy. Too Shaggy.
Too Shaggy. Yeah.
You guys recall how high Steve Perry's voice is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's lost a step. Listen up.
If I ruled the world, imagine that. I'd free all my sons. I love them, baby.
I mean,
okay,
come on now.
That was me doing Nas and Lauryn Hill right there. Can we just hear goddamn Steve Perry?
No erasing. I've felt this much before. No erasing. No running anymore. My soul's burning. Just like it was before. No erasing.
Boy, he's sure got the voice still,
that
huh?
That is Steve Perry, you guys.
How about that?
I am so surprised how good he still sounds.
Yeah, that his voice is just, it's legendary.
Amazing, yeah.
And it still sounds like Steve Perry.
How about that?
So glad. Aren't you glad?
Sure.
Yay! Yay! Do you think whoever replaced him, because I think there were like four guys, and the last guy looks super like him too and sounds just like him.
I thought it was just that Asian dude that was that sounded exactly like him.
I feel like there's been a couple.
Have there?
Right?
My memory is what Kevin's saying, is they hired this one Asian dude who's been doing it ever since. And he's got the same voice.
Exact same voice. It's so bizarre to watch him do it.
I think there's been at least two.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Agree to disagree.
But I will say this. Whoever's doing it now, do you think he's like, God damn it, Steve Perry.
He is coming back?
Oh, I'm so mad. Oh, but don't stop believing. We don't know if he's going to.
Go to hell.
All right. Moving on. Just weeks after finding its tramp in the leftover star Justin Theroux. See, he's going to be playing Tramp. Disney's live-action remake of Lady and the Tramp has found its lady.
Okay.
Tessa Thompson!
Oh, she's good.
She is good. She's set to provide the voice of the Cocker Spaniel from a well-to-do family who falls for the scrappy tramp, Justin Theroux. The film is the latest in a long line of Disney releases providing live-action updates to its original animated hit. It's expected to land on the company's still-unnamed direct-to-consumer streaming service sometime after the service launches in 2019. I feel like they need to firm up a date on that. Maybe name that streaming service and give us a date.
Sure.
Who's with me?
But they have time.
They do have time. And it was pretty shocking to people when Fleetwood Mac decided they were going to go on tour without Lindsey Buckingham. And it was a matter of he didn't want to do it at the time that they wanted to. And I think maybe a part of him thought that they weren't going to call his bluff. And they'd be like, all right, we'll wait. And they were like, see ya. So they, of course, are going out on tour. Awesome. Good for you. Well, Lindsey Buckingham has decided, all right, I'm going to roll out my new greatest hits package titled Solo Anthology. And I'm going to have a full slate of solo tour dates throughout North America, most of which conflict with Fleetwood Mac dates.
Is that right? That seems petty.
Petty as F. Come on, dude. What are you...
Wow.
What are you doing?
But if you had the choice between those two, it's a pretty easy choice, isn't it?
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's great, and I love him with Fleetwood Mac, but he's not Fleetwood Mac by himself.
Yeah.
Huh? And that's one to grow on. Yeah. The more you know. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Lawrence, Ben Affleck, Anthony Anderson, Deborah Messing, and Joe Jonas. And that's what's happening.
Hey, keep listening later this hour. Another chance for you to join us for the K-Rock Summer Pool Party with Iration and the Interrupters. That's going to be this Saturday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, hosted by Stryker. And not only that, I believe the Interrupters are coming out on our show on Friday and are going to be performing live. So good stuff with two good bands here this week on K-Rock.
Hey, you guys. beer mug just came in.
Heaven.
He sat down. What do
he
I do?
He works on the show.
The
right, but
on.
Do I turn his mic on?
Yes, he's allowed to
okay,
be.
Okay, I'm just checking.
For 11 years I've been here, Kevin.
Just checking what the policy is.
Feels like 25, though, I'll tell you that. I actually invited Muggs in as we get into this topic.
This is on you, then.
It is on me. I will take responsibility. As we get into this topic, Muggs is going to have something to contribute. The story is you were physically hurt by a friend. Now, before we get into the story that spurred this, we're not looking for on purpose. We're not looking for somebody hit you with a baseball bat
right,
to hurt you. They didn't try to hurt you.
It's accidental.
Accidental. Okay, you were physically hurt by a friend accidentally. And the story that started this is actually a terrifying video. She's a 16-year-old girl who is standing on a bridge at Moulton Falls in a place I've never heard of in Washington State called Yakult, Washington. Mm-hmm. And she and her friends are standing around, and they're in bikinis. And it looked to me like, did you guys get the sense that this is a bridge, even though it's 60 feet up, which is pretty far, that people do jump off of?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like, yeah.
Okay, she didn't want to jump off of it. And she was like, no, I'm not going to jump off of it. But her friend decided she was going to jump off of it and just pushed her into the air.
Yeah, this could have been terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't end up great. Let's hear a little bit of the news audio.
Three, no, I won't go in. Two.
Well, she's saying no.
No, I just...
Ready?
That thud. Oh.
Yeah. Now, 60 feet, guys.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, or is that the kind of height at which you can become badly injured?
Oh, you could die.
She could have died at the very least paralyzed.
How tall are high dives, like at a swimming pool?
30.
30 feet.
Okay. Well, here's what happened to the young lady. 5 broken ribs. Ouch.
Oh, man.
And I've had broken ribs, and you can't even breathe without that hurting.
And there's no way they can help you. They just go, you know what? It'll fade.
Yeah. air bubbles in her chest. I've never heard of that before. And she has a punctured lung. This story that I saw yesterday made it sound like she was still in the hospital, by the way. She said, in midair, I think I might have blacked out. I was awake and aware when I hit the water, however.
Wow.
And someone nearby did jump in and retrieve her, and she was transported to the hospital. So this is a friend of hers who, by the way, has not been named, nor has she been charged. But that has been discussed about what you should do about something like that.
Now, I don't think we want stories that are this serious. Right? We don't want people who actually almost died.
Yeah, this girl, she was pushed by a friend on purpose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would like funnier stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so your friend accidentally, physically injured you. That's what we're talking about. You were just clowning around and they broke something. 1-800-520-1067. Before we get to Muggs, Kevin... I'm sure in your long history, you've probably paralyzed a bunch of people.
I mean, no, but I've never had anything that reaches to that level, though. But I mean, you know, we've had BB gun fights and fireworks fights, and probably the worst was I was riding a motorcycle and my friends put up a fence of wire, and it was at dusk, so I couldn't see it, and
oh
it stopped the motorcycle dead, like stopped it immediately, and I just went flying. And I don't know, I think I hurt my arm or something like that, but it was nothing like this.
Yeah.
Were you mad or did you respect the game?
Oh, it was the funniest thing ever.
Really? even though you were the victim?
Yes, because it was exactly at dusk and they knew that there's no way I could see. It was beautifully done.
Like you wish you'd thought of it to do it to
somebody
else.
I absolutely would have done it to them. So it was really nice.
But isn't that the type of thing that could kill a dude?
I mean, sure.
If you get thrown over the handles of a bike.
A lesser man
could
get injured.
Sure.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Muggs, what happened to you?
Well, I was getting my head shaved back in high school during my punk rock days. You had to play the part. So... these clippers.
Do we have pictures of this?
We might.
We're going to need
them.
Okay, continue.
These clippers must have been probably from, they're my buddy's father's clippers, probably from like the 1960s. They hadn't been oiled. They hadn't been taken care of.
Sweet.
They probably had rust on them. Mm-hmm. And he was going to shave the back of my head. And for whatever reason, the clippers, I had long, really long curly hair back then. The clippers grabbed a chunk of my hair, ripped them out, proceeded to go from the bottom of my neck to the top of my head, rip all the hair out, and the clippers themselves gashed the back of my head.
Oh, my God.
I had to go to the ER because I couldn't stop. It would. Jesus, Allie.
Right?
I had to go to the ER because my head would not stop bleeding.
Dude.
Yeah. And that was the last time
Explains a lot.
That was the last time I gave myself a mohawk and shaved my head.
Mm. Mm.
Did you need stitches?
No. Luckily, they just put pressure on it in the ER. They put some, like, saline to clean it out, and they just wrapped it up. I had, like, a head bandage. I looked like a war
Do you have a picture of that?
Victim. No, I don't have that either.
I think we're going to need that.
Yeah.
How much brain do you think leaked out that day?
Quite a lot. Quite a bit. Yep.
There's definitely some missing.
Yes.
So. All right. 1-800. Thank you, Burma. Go take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. I know we didn't want serious, but let's start with Tony in Corona, line two, and find out what happened.
Hey, Tony.
First of all, I just want to preface the conversation by saying my best friend is okay at this point.
Okay, good.
We're happy to hear that.
We were in high school. We used to be on the swim team. We'd run on the side of the pool, and while the other person was swimming their lap, you'd jump onto their back.
You jumped on top of them.
Yes, on top of them. Okay. And then they'd go down, and everybody would get up, and it'd be funny. Well, one day I did it, and I landed on my buddy's head, and I broke his neck.
Oh
no!
My God,
it was. My heart is just sinking in my chest right now, just talking about it. But it was probably one of, if not the worst day of my life.
Oh my God!
You could not have felt worse.
No, it was terrible. He was in a neck brace for, geez, it seemed like ever.
Has he recovered?
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine.
He was fine in high school, but everything was good. But like I said,
kids
don't jump on people in the pool.
Don't do that. Okay,
that's good advice. Tip. Now Kevin told us his story with the barbed wire or whatever it was.
It wasn't barbed wire, but it was wire.
Wire, okay. He told us that story, and he said that he respected it. He wished he'd thought of it. He thought it was funny, even though he was the victim. How did your friend respond to you breaking his neck by accident?
He was good with it. It wasn't happy, but he recovered, and he was fine, and we're still friends to this day.
I imagine if everybody was doing that, and that was a thing that you were doing, I imagine he wouldn't have been.
Yeah,
upset.
It was a bad surprise, but he knew you didn't have
malice.
Evil intentions. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
No
All right,
malice. No malice whatsoever.
All right, very good call, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jimmy Southgate, line one, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about you accidentally injured a friend, or he or she accidentally injured you.
Hey, Jimmy.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
So I was playing golf, and my buddy was driving the cart, and I was on the passenger side eating a hot dog. Well, he thought it'd be funny to pull the cart, and I fell off the side. I dislocated my shoulder.
Oh!
I fractured my ankle, and I broke my arm. I actually had to get taken out in the ambulance.
How was the hot dog?
No, I don't remember.
I mean, it's a real waste of a good piece of meat, right?
Yeah.
Hope you ate it.
So he was just clattering around with a golf cart. Next thing you know, you got all these broken bones. Now, how pissed were you?
Well, we're pretty rough with each other.
That's the kind of thing you would have done to him, I assume.
Right. Okay, all
yes,
right.
I would have definitely done that.
All right.
And everything healed up okay for you, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Fine now.
All right, good to hear it. Great call. 1-800-520-1067. Got some great calls on the line. We're welcoming yours as well. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Weezer, let's take one call. Let's make it Liz in Pomona. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Liz, I'm so happy you called because I thought this was going to be a dude fest with people who injure their friends by accident, but there's actually a girl involved. I want to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, I was in the military. I was in the Army, and we were sitting around just kind of waiting to be dismissed and let go so we can go home, mm-hmm. and my friends were playing quarters, throwing quarters at each other because they were that bored. And I was laughing, and my friend threw a quarter so hard it hit my tooth and cracked my tooth.
Oh my God!
Damn!
It made direct contact with a tooth and broke it.
Yes. Ow. No, it didn't break my tooth off. It's just cracked, like permanently cracked.
Ouch.
Oh,
ouch.
Wow.
Did you give her back any change?
Unfortunately, no. He just got in trouble, had to do some push-ups, and that was it.
Sure. Okay. Oh, good. It was at least a guy throwing it. Again, keeping our streak alive guys doing dumb things that hurt people. Liz, thank you for your service. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls after the Weezer on K-Rock. I'm just looking at the calls on hold here, and it's amazing that any of our listeners are still alive, right? Everybody gets hurt by accident by their friends. Casey writes in, I accidentally chopped my sister's pinky off.
Oh, no.
Hey, accidentally. When she was 4, I let go of a heavy door. Her hand was in the door jamb. They reattached it.
Nope. That hurt so much.
She's fine. That does. That is no bueno. That's not good for folks who don't speak Spanish.
Thank you. Gracias.
Let's go to Todd Riverside, please. Line 2 to get us back into the calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You injured a friend or you were injured by a friend?
I was injured by a friend, yes. Well, me and my buddy decided, you know, after we left our favorite bar, that we would take a funny picture on a nice little tree on Haight Street out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy decided it'd be funny if he shook the branch that I was standing on.
Oh, hilarious.
That is funny, first of all.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, yeah. And until it broke, and then I landed on my back and broke my back in two places.
Oh, my God.
And split my head open. So that was fun.
Were you drunk enough that it was tolerable, or did it hurt like a mother effer?
Oh, I was drunk enough so it was tolerable. The next morning when I woke up to go to work, I couldn't get out of bed. I was like, oh, something's wrong.
Oh, man. How are you now? Good? You better?
Oh, I'm good now. Right, oh, yeah. All good.
All good, everybody.
You got to love a dude that gets wasted and climbs a tree.
Awesome. I want to party with you, cowboy.
That is pretty cool.
All right, Todd. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you listening. Go to line 4 next. Let's say hi to Corona and Ken. Hey, Ken. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You got hurt?
Oh, yeah. Did I get hurt? So my buddy in high school, we took a sewing class. And if you got hurt in sewing, you'd have to go to the nurse, and whatever happened, you know, you could be suspension if somebody hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So my buddy, we're sewing, and I was messing around, but I put my finger underneath the sewing needle, and he hit the pedal, and it sewed my finger, and it got caught, and I got scared. So then I pulled my finger out, and pulled the tip of my finger off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
To this day, my finger is numb. And I'll never forgive him. He's still my best friend.
Oh, yeah, it's his fault. You put your finger there. You put your finger under a needle.
He didn't have to press the pedal.
Hey, why would he even take sewing? That's a big question.
We were all wondering that, actually. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Diamond. She's in La Puente. She's on line 5, please.
Oh, a girl. All right. Hi, Diamond.
Hey Diamond.
Hey, guys. This actually didn't happen to me. It happened to my brother. 19 years ago, we had to rush him to the emergency room because he shot his hand with a pellet, like from a baby gun, and it was a pointy one.
I'm sorry, he shot himself?
Yeah.
In the hand? With a pellet gun.
Well, that sounds like a whole different phone topic, by the way, as you injured yourself by accident. We were looking for friends, but he's still a dumbass, right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, the bullet is still in his hand today, 19 years later.
Oh,
wow. They just left it there.
But at least he wasn't taking a sewing class.
Right?
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's
wasn't a girl, by the way. I just want to point out we're trying.
Yep.
We but it's all dudes.
They stopped without a single woman who hurt anyone ever, except emotionally. Let's go to Buena Park, line 6.
Stupid.
And let's say hi to Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Morning. You hurt somebody?
Yes. Yeah, so I was actually at a bachelor party. We were up in Big Bear. And we were playing the game Three Flies Up because we're children, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into one of my buddies, and I broke 3 of his ribs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good times.
And that just made the rest of the bachelor party just fun for everybody, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. And then the guy started kind of vomiting, which at a bachelor party is okay, but it still just wasn't a good time.
It's expected.
Right.
Exactly.
Courage, Stephen.
Thank you for the call. Mike from the 562, my friend tried to jump on my back to get a piggyback ride. Unbeknownst to me, he missed a step and ended up landing on my calf. My leg snapped.
Oof.
And I have a calf contusion and a broken shin.
Oh, that's, man.
Yeah, that's no good.
Allie, you have one?
I do, since you need girls that
I mean, we haven't found one.
Okay, well, as a youngster, you play a game called Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board at sleepovers. And you put two fingers under a person and you tell like a ghosty story. And then you say, when she died, she was light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as a feather. And I don't know how it works, but you're able to lift up a human with two fingers underneath them.
I can answer how it works.
How?
It doesn't.
It does. It totally does. Okay. But we did it. We got her like probably halfway up and then we freaked out because we were like, oh my God, this is demonic. So we dropped her.
Okay.
And she left the slumber party and she went home and she wasn't at school for a week.
Oh no.
Oh no.
She came back to school with the brace on her back.
Oh no.
We felt horrible. I probably felt horrible for a good 10, 15 years.
Wow.
Until I found out from her brother that she had scoliosis and she just went to an appointment later that week, found out she had scoliosis, pretended we all injured her with the brace.
That's awesome.
The long con.
That's awesome.
Long con. What a bitch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
5 minutes away from your tickets for Panic at the Disco at Staples Center tonight. So you're sitting around right now just listening to Kevin and Bean. You have no idea that you're going to see Panic at the Disco tonight because you haven't won the tickets yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you will, and you'll be qualified to see them again this weekend in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. You'll be qualified when you win the local tickets for Staples Center, and then Stryker will announce the grand prize winner of all the day's qualifiers at 5 o'clock. All right, Allie, you're up. What's happening?
Well, last week we found out that Aerosmith would be joining the likes of Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, Blink-182, Gwen Stefani, who else? Lady Gaga, soon mm-hmm. to be. All of these people having a residency in Vegas. Well, we found out today on the Today Show, they announced where the residency will be. It's going to be called... Okay. Deuces Are Wild. And the shows begin April 6th. Sure.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
April 6th of next... Yep. Of, okay.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
April 6th of next year at the Park Theater.
Live, local, late-breaking.
Yep. Yep. At the Park Theater at the New Park MGM on the Vegas Strip.
New Park MGM.
Yeah, it used to be the Monte Carlo. Now it's the New Park MGM.
Well, this tour may put that hotel on the map.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the shows will go some dates in April and then scheduled through July 9th. But members of Aerosmith's Aero Force One fan club get the first shot at tickets on August 16th with a pre-sale. And then, yeah, then we can buy them. People that aren't in Aero Force One, I can't.
I have Aerosmith's one of my favorite bands.
Sure.
I love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Portions of their career, other parts of their career are terrible. But I when I've seen them, I'm astonished at how good they still are.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of those bands that, yeah, they're older. They've been around a long time, almost 50 years now. Mm-hmm. But they still bring it. They still really rock. It's not like going to see some, you know, creaky old antique act just barely getting through their songs. They still bring it.
You know, those creaky old antique acts. Who would that be?
Luck.
Name
Who's
names.
Creaky and old Luck?
I'm just saying that sometimes...
Just someone up there on a rocking chair.
Sometimes you go see guys
needle pointing.
And they're too old, is what I'm saying. They're past their prime where they can't really bring the kinds of songs they used
Are they creaking, though?
Are they creaky old antique acts?
They actually are, yeah.
Okay.
I stand by that.
All right.
Got it. Well, at first when I was following along with this Nicki Minaj Safari feud, I was just not into it. I didn't like that they were just letting all of their dirty laundry out on Twitter. And then I started laughing because some of the things they're accusing each other of. Good Lord. The fight began after Nicki Minaj talked about her relationship with Safari, who she dated for nearly 10 years. She talked about him in a radio interview. This didn't sit well with Safari, so he wanted to combat some of what he said were lies, like she lied about him writing all the lyrics for her. What?
Okay.
She said he lied about... He said he wrote all of her lyrics and she just rapped them.
Right.
And she's like, no, that's not how it works. So she said, how dare you bite the hand that feeds? And then it goes back and forth, back and forth. And then he accused her of stabbing him years ago. And it got so bad, he was on the way to the hospital and it was going to become like a police situation. And he had to lie and say, oh, no, I was just basically suicidal. I did this to myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's when I was like, this isn't fun anymore.
Oh, you know what? That was me then.
Yeah,
that's a weird
change that
of story.
That was me. Yeah. But here's where it went back to fun, because then Nicki Minaj fired back in a series of not so safe for work tweets, accusing him of stealing her credit card. But this is the one that I latched onto. She also said she paid a doctor, the same one Tyga used, to repair his hairline. She is telling everyone that not only did she buy him new hair, but also Tyga has fake hair.
Yeah.
Because they use the same doctor.
I think maybe airing your dirty laundry on social media is not the best plan.
I feel like it's never going to end well for anyone.
Unless you're Nicki Minaj and you've got an album out this week, in which case it's a great plan.
True story.
Especially since her fans are going to side with her.
Obviously. Right? It's crazy.
She's very talented, by the way. And I don't know how somebody can claim to write her lyrics when we've seen her freestyle so well. I mean, she obviously has skills.
Have we seen her freestyle?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
I'm going to source that.
Right?
You might be right.
Source it or he's right. Make up your mind.
I'm going to source it.
Okay, source it.
He may be right.
But I may be crazy.
Oh,
you are. Oh, wow. You're just the lunatic I'm looking for. Some birthdays for you. Bong bong indeed. Joe Jonas, Deborah Messing, Anthony Anderson, Ben Affleck, and Jennifer Lawrence. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is The Interrupters. She's Kerosene.
By the way, that band is going to be live on our show, I believe, performing acoustically on Friday morning.
Correct.
Nice.
And then they're going to be joining Iration at the K-Rock Summer Pool Party at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this Saturday, hosted by Stryker. We have tickets to that to give away all this week on K-Rock, and you can also head to krock.com for another chance to win as well. I'm very excited about the Interrupters coming in.
Same.
I like them very much. All right, Allie, final look at what's happening here on this Wednesday.
This is a bummer for me. You know that Conan is switching to a half-hour format,
right?
Starting in January. They've decided to do away with musical performances.
They usually just throw those on at the end anyway.
But I'm telling you, Conan was where I went to for bands that you've never heard of, up-and-coming bands, like people that you really would never be on your radar that you fell in love with. And he does that a lot with comics, too. I think he's been super, super supportive of comics that come on that then go on to sell out.
I can see that,
shows,
too, but if you're going to make an hour show a half hour,
you probably take away the musical performances. But what a bummer.
I don't care for modern music. It's the devil's work, if you ask me.
I mean, no one did, but you have a point there. That just bums me out. I'm going to get over it.
I'm sure you will.
But it's got to be hard.
When does this start? When does he go to
half
hour?
January of next year. Yeah.
Yes.
So, listen up, Browns fans. Or Browns fan, if you're listening. We know it's not easy being a Browns fan, but you might have something to celebrate. Maybe at the beginning of the season, maybe the middle, maybe the end. We just don't know. However, when you win your first game of the season, no matter when it is, Anheuser-Busch has announced that they're going to be placing Bud Light Victory fridges at bars throughout Cleveland that will automatically unlock via a Wi-Fi connection after the Browns win their first regular season game.
That's a great idea.
Cleveland Steamer, it's awesome.
That is very different. Very different. Don't Google it, kids. They're going to be refrigerators also at Cleveland's First Energy Stadium. But what a great promotion. How really smart is Anheuser-Busch? They're like, listen, you went 0-16. Let's make it fun.
Just one game. That's as high as we need to shoot.
I mean, in a way, it's just raising the stakes because, you know, it's like betting on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, don't the Lakers do the thing with free tacos if they score 100, right? Same sort of thing, right? It gives you just a little extra incentive to root for them.
Right.
Yep.
Free beer. That's what I'm saying.
Nothing wrong with that.
I still say they win 4 games next season. Okay. Standing by it.
That's cute.
Right?
Let's get an office pull up.
Okay.
I think it'd be fun.
Because none of us care about the Browns, but,
but we'd all
do
bet
love
it.
To bet.
Absolutely.
That is true. Remember Allison Mack? She's the one from Smallville that we found out was pretty much the number 2 person in that sex cult.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? Yeah. So she's asking a judge for leniency on her bail conditions. She's currently subjected to a GPS monitored detention at her parents' home in Los Alamitos. She's allowed to travel locally to meet with lawyers and head to Brooklyn when she goes for court appearances. But she's asking the
federal... That doesn't seem overbearing.
No, she's asking the Brooklyn federal court judge for permission to go, you know, to work, to school, to church. Listen, you are out on bail. You were arrested for sex trafficking, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking, and attempted human trafficking. Sit your ass down, Allison Mack.
She needs to go to church.
The fact that you're even allowed to be out and in your parents' house? F you. Thank you.
Are you forgetting how cute she was on Smallville?
Oh, you know what I was. Yeah. All right.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah, let's let her go wherever.
Sure.
Take off
she's,
the GPS
she's
monitor.
Chloe, right? Was it Chloe?
I don't know.
I think she was Chloe.
Anywho. And speaking of, wow, this is rich, guys. Bill Cosby says that being declared a sexually violent predator will damage his reputation.
I'm sorry?
Bill Cosby, who is currently awaiting sentencing for rape, also argued in court documents that it would interfere with his relationship with his family if he was declared a sexually violent predator.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
He's not wrong, but it's all the stuff that he did that's going to ruin his relationship with his family.
Right. Yeah, he's saying that it would infringe on his state constitutional right that protects one's reputation. Bill, you're a... That moment's passed.
That's incredibly dumb.
It is tarnished. No need to fight that one.
I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation.
Mm. Okay, got
right.
it.
That's a good point.
Right. I mean.
Right.
Seriously.
My point is, okay, listen to me carefully.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm telling you where the road is out.
Right.
I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going to go into water. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
Okay, wait, who's driving?
I don't understand that example.
That interview should have ruined his reputation.
Good Lord. Some birthdays for you. We've got Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lawrence, Anthony Anderson, Deborah Messing, and Joe Jonas. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. On your drive home today, tomorrow morning at all new Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Drew stops by as it's Thursday. We have a brand new internet roundup with all the best videos. We have Get Up On This with our friend Jensen Karp. We have Mark Wahlberg. And we've got your tickets for Panic
Mark
at the Disco. Yes.
I feel like you lead with him.
Mark Wahlberg.
That's a big star right there.
So I should have led with him?
Yes.
Hey, tomorrow morning, you guys, we've got Mark Wahlberg.
No kidding.
On a brand new Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
What else?
Plus your tickets to Panic at the Disco tomorrow.